بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home of the receiver A few weeks back we had discussed a few quotations, anecdotes, malfuzat of our beloved Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh. And indeed his anecdotes, his malfuzat are very brief, in English, simple, but very thought-provoking, inspiring. And it connects us to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. If we just ponder and listen carefully, many a person can change his life just upon listening to and adhering to these brief anecdotes with sincerity. A very famous one when we talk about sincerity, doing only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for name, not for fame, not for show. Hazrat Maulana used to say, do for Allah's pleasure and take from His treasure and get from His treasure. So you're doing solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person does some good deed, then shaitan will whisper something in his ears, nafs will prompt him, and he'll want to broadcast this to some person, or tell others. So what happens? His sincerity then becomes tarnished. And many times a person may do something solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it may not be appreciated by the person for who he is doing. So then he must remind himself he is doing only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is not doing something for any thanks from that person, any gratitude. Allah ta'ala says, لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءُ وَلَا شُكُورًا We do not want from them any recompense or any gratitude. A person does solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Maulana mentioned and we discussed quite a few malfuzat already. But the one he mentioned that we should attend and listen to the talks of mashayikh and ulama with the niyat of amal. So our sitting here must be that, oh Allah, whatever I am listening, I must bring this into practice. I must bring it into my life. Otherwise, even a dini majlis or a talk or a bayan will just be a kind of entertainment or pastime. And therefore, we find that we're not finding ourselves progressing spiritually. We're still in the same spot. Even though we may have heard so many talks, so the speaker has to have ikhlas. The listeners also have to have ikhlas. Speaker and those who are listening, both have to have the niyat of amal. And Allah, I need to bring this into my life. And the moment a person has his genuine intention to bring to amal, bring into his life, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for him. Then he will progress after bringing one thing into his life, there's some change, then a second and a third. فَسَنُوْيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَ Allah says, we make the path towards Jannah easy for the person. One good deed, one neki draws another neki. You did one good deed, and suddenly you get the tawfiq of doing many more good deeds. So again, sincerity and with the niyat of amal. I want to practice. Hazrat Maulana says, people say they have contacts. I got contact in the government, I got contact with the police, I got contact with this person and that person. People say they have contacts. And they have their trust in those contacts. In almost all instances, they are disappointed. Unless the contact is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How beautiful. We all see we got contacts and... But just see if anybody is blocking any person who wishes to go. So we all see we have contacts and we'll do this and we'll do that and we get this person to sort this out or that person to sort out for me. And suddenly the contact doesn't work. Now when the contact doesn't work, what happens? Now the person loses all hope. Now he becomes parishan.
our contact is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The very first thing before we embark on any of the asbab, using the usage of means, we have explained so many times, asbab. Allah ta'ala has created the system that you must make use of the means. But your trust must be on musabbibul asbab, on the creator of those means. And the very first thing in anything a person wants to embark on, he's going on a journey, or he needs to do a business, or he has got this deal to do, whatever it is, 2 rakat salat, and beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh, mashayikh would go into sajda, they would cry and cry and cry. And believe me, mountains can be moved. Mountains. If a person is begging from Allah ta'ala sincerely, because everything is in his control. So the other context, then you use after contacting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and placing your trust solely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all other jais contexts that you need to use, then you use. But if you're using all those other contexts, and you forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you'll find many times, as Mawlana says, in all instances, or most cases, the thing doesn't work, and the person becomes so full of distress. There is a riwayat also, so the khulasa, the gist of this riwayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that people have trust on others. Whereas the key to all things are in my control. For example, you need to require some person, and you go to the person who, his office is there, but you don't go to his office. The door is open, you need him, but you go to every other person, and he's watching you. You need him. All you got to go, the door is open and he's ready to serve you, but you're going to every other person. So how will that person feel? Now eventually when you come to him, he says, but well, who stopped you from coming to me? Why didn't you come directly to me? Why did you go to this person and then that person? It's the exact thing. First turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever the problem is, whatever the need is. You got a family problem. The wife has got a problem with the husband. Husband got to the wife. You got a business problem. Things are not working out well for you. It's one after the other. Cry. Cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Learn to beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And place our tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't have our trust in all the other dunya contexts we have, because if that fails, then the person becomes full of distress. The hadith instructs us to master our tongue, to have control. أَمْلِكْ عَلَيْكَ لِسَانَكَ. Have control over your tongue. So your tongue must be subservient to you. You are the master. You must have control over the tongue. The hadith instructs us to master our tongue, to have full control over our tongue. It is with the tongue that a person reads the shahada and enters Islam. The person said, لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. And he entered into Islam. It is with the same tongue that the person leaves Islam. One word of kufr, and he's out of the fold of Islam. See the tongue. The same tongue you, through which you became a Muslim, and the same tongue you can lose your Islam. Similarly, with the tongue we enter into the ibadah of nikah. Nakahtuha, the Murana will say, Nakahtuha wa qabiltuha, I have accepted. You already in the nikah. And with the tongue, we can leave the institution of nikah. One, talaq and kalas. So how important it is to control the tongue. The same tongue, a person through this tongue, he comes into the fold of Islam, or he can leave the fold of Islam. Through this tongue, he gets into nikah, or through this tongue, he comes out of nikah. So we need to exercise full control of our zuban, our tongue. Rasulullah mentioned, مَنْ يَضْمَلْنِي مَا بَيْنَ لَحِيهِ وَمَا بَيْنَ رِجْلَيْهِ أَضْمَلْ لَهُ أَدِنَّهُ. Whoever gives me guarantee of protecting his tongue and his private parts, Rasulullah says, I guarantee him, of course, through the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I guarantee him entry into Jannah. And this is the mujahada we all have to make. Because we don't realize, we blurt out things with our tongue, we've hurt somebody's feelings, or we have caused damage to our iman and our deen. The narration narrated by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, or another sahabi, he says that this tongue, a person says a word, a simple word, a good word, a kind word, some dini talk, like I'm speaking now, something which is kalima, hasana, tayyiba, it's a good word, kalima tayyiba. So he used some kind word, he inspired some person, he used some good example to bring a person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes the person is just speaking, not really having, even concentrating on what he's saying. You told somebody something good. You didn't have any real intention, or you didn't even think what you were saying, but you said something good. And through that, you reach the highest of Jannah. And the converse, you said something, لَا يُلْقِي لَهَا بَالًا, you didn't even ponder and contemplate, and you didn't realize what you said. And you uttered those words, through that, the word is not a good word, it's a bad word, you go into the ebb of Jahannam. You fall right down into Jahannam. Therefore, ulama and mashayikh say, that jirmuhu saghir, the size of this tongue is very saghir, very small. Jirmuhu in Arabic, with the kasra on the jim. And put a dhamma, jurmu, it's offense kabir. It's not saghir, it's big. So the same zuban, it's small, but the consequences of abuse of this tongue is very, very grave. And this is our mujahada. I said again, all of us, sometimes, especially when we're socializing with our friends, then we just speak and we speak all unnecessary things, especially after Isha Salah, besides Dini Majalis and Dhikrullah and things like that. A person should not indulge in gossiping, in chit-chatting, and idle talking. It is very, very grave warning in the hadith of Rasulullah, which most of us don't even bother and even realize. So in our functions, after Isha we're having party, and we're just speaking and speaking and speaking, and that is valuable time. A person can use, either he goes to sleep, that is better, so he wakes up early for Fajr, or use that time in some other beneficial thing. Hasad, jealousy, is the cause of a lot of mischief and lies. Hasad. Person has hasad. It is the cause of a lot of mischief and lies. It results in many more spiritual ailments. The hasid, the one who is having the jealousy, does not enjoy ease or peace because he moves in the direction of Jahannam. All the time his heart is in turmoil. He's pareshan because he's jealous of somebody else. So when you're jealous of somebody else, your thoughts are always centered around that person. You can't take, you can't endure his progress. You can't bear to see him progressing. It is eating you up. It is consuming you. إِنَّ الْحَسَدَ يَأْكُلْ حَسَنَاتْ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارُ الْحَطَبْ أَوِ الْعُشْبُ. So hasad, jealousy, it consumes a person's good deeds. See, there's so much of good deeds. You're at Isha Salat now. You're at Tilawah, Dhikrullah, Bayan, Wa'az, Nasihat. All those things, just because of jealousy you have of some person, all those good deeds are being devoured by the jealousy. Just like how fire burns wood, it consumes wood or grass. So hasad, as Mawlana says, it is the cause of a lot of mischief. So you be jealous of a person, so now you start making ghibat to others about that person because you want to denigrate him. You don't want to see him progressing. So now you start making ghibat. And sometimes you'll have a fight with that person. And so many other things will start. So it is an ailment that causes many other ailments, spiritual ailments as well. And the worst consequence of hasad is that the hasid himself, the person who is jealous, he's never at peace. His own heart is burning. Hazrat Mawlana Arif Billah Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah, one poem, he would say, that why a person is jealous? Kafi afsos kyun mar rahe ho? Why are you just rubbing your palms of regret all the time? Oh, why he got, why is he progressing? Why is she progressing? So much dunya, he's getting in so much of business and he's opening that shop and that factory. Are you not happy with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If Allah decided to give Mr. A or that person, Abdullah or Muhammad or Yusuf, a certain ni'mat, there is Allah's decree, Allah's decision. By you being jealous of that, it means that you are not happy with Allah's decision for that person. So this is something, again, all of us, in our lives, we become jealous of a person. So immediately think, by me being jealous, there's so many other things we can discuss about jealousy, but just think of this one thing, that I'm, by me being jealous, my being jealous of that person, I'm actually showing that I'm not happy with Allah's decision, Allah's taqdeer, Allah is written for some person. Yes, one is jealousy. What is jealousy? Jealousy is when you desire the zawal of a ni'mat from a person, that a person has been gifted with something. Somebody's got wealth, or he's got some ni'mat, whatever it is, and you desire in your heart that Allah must snatch away that ni'mat from him. And he must be deprived of it, he mustn't enjoy it. That is totally haram. There is something else in Arabic called as ghibta, which we won't translate as jealousy. Ghibta, in English, we say he is envious in the sense that he does not wish that that bounty must be snatched away from the person. No. He desires that that bounty must be continued with that person, but he also wishes to have that bounty as well. Now this ghibta also is only permissible in two things. Even to be envious of a person, we're not talking about jealousy, the bad thing. To be envious, that also only in two things. Number one, a person has got abundant wealth, he's got wealth, and he's using the wealth for dini causes. He's spending in the path of Allah, in all dini avenues. Ya Allah, I wish I had also wealth like him. You're not desiring that the ni'mat must be taken away from him, must become a pauper, a poor person. No. Allah must give him plenty. And Allah must give me also wealth like him. I wish I also had, so I can also spend it in the path of Allah. That is permissible. And the second one, a person has knowledge, ilm. So you don't desire that Allah must snatch away the knowledge he has, the ni'mat of ilm from him. But you desire Allah must also give you knowledge so that you can also practice like how that man is practicing upon his ilm. This is called ghibta in Arabic. And these two things are permissible. Other than this, everything else is not permissible. That will tantamount to jealousy again. Or there's no need to be envious of a person for any other reason. If you're envious of a person, then it should be for these two reasons, that Allah must give me wealth like him, and Allah must increase him in that wealth, and so I can also spend in the path of Allah, and Allah must give me knowledge so I can also practice on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we are so occupied with a fly sitting on someone's forehead, sometimes we're so occupied with the fly sitting on somebody's forehead, but we do not take notice of the huge pythons around our own necks. We're always pointing fingers, hey, he's got this fault, that fault, that fault. Even a thing like a fly, something small. Fly. That too is bugging us. He's got a fly on his nose. He's got a fly on his nose. But the huge pythons of guna around our neck, our faults, we don't see it. So we are very judgmental, or we will point fingers at people, but we don't point the finger back to us. We don't introspect our own lives. We sit back with our cell phone, social media, and we'll see the whole world. Muslim must come right in the world. And these people must come right. Those people must come right. See, he's like this. Those people are like this. And they're not following deen, shariat. What about yourself? We've got huge pythons around our necks. We don't realize it. And that is why a few weeks back, alhamdulillah, there are quite a few people who benefited, may Allah ta'ala make it a means of our najat. And al-mu'minu mir'at, al-mu'min, I discussed in one of the Thursday majlises, a believer is a mirror of another believer. And therefore, when your believer is correcting you, then you will accept that correction that he is, that Islah. He's telling you something good, like how a mirror is correcting you, or showing you your faults. Like that, if somebody is showing you a fault, you must be happy. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala made that i'lan. If anybody sees me doing something wrong, you must stand up immediately and tell me, and direct me, and correct me. We become offended, we become angry. So, Hazrat Muna says, sometimes we occupied with a fly, small thing like a fly sitting on somebody's nose,
But we are unmindful. We're not mindful of the pythons around our own necks. He says, think before you say or do anything. Simple advice. Think before you say or do anything. A little thinking can protect from a lot of regret. And most of the time we regret because, I didn't think properly. An exam, when you're writing, and after the paper, and when you go and check, and we call it post-mortem of the paper, and you see, I wrote the wrong answer, I didn't think properly. So therefore, a person should ponder. Think, socho. And then you speak. Think and then do something. La aqlaka tadbir. Rasulullah said, there is no intelligence like planning and thinking and contemplating. Anything in the world you need to build, you need a plan. Like that, if you have few minutes you take, just ponder, contemplate. What I'm saying, what I want to say, is it right? Is it going to be of any benefit or not? What I want to do, is it going to be beneficial or harmful? 2 seconds, 3 seconds, and it will save us a lot of regret. So these are simple examples. Simple, we don't even need to give any tashri of Hazrat Maulana's Malfuzat. But all these things, if we ponder, inshallah, there will be great islah for all of us, inshallah. We watch television and sport for hours on end. And this is, again, I mentioned the other day, and many of us don't like to hear these type of malfuzat. Talk about other nice things that, you know, like as I mentioned in Ashura Day, about spending on your family, mashallah, you get barakah for the whole year, and we explain the hadiths to be authentic and correct. But those things we like to hear. We talk about sports, and especially when these two teams are playing, and people actually have fights in this way and become angry, Ya Allah. We're making barbad of our akhirat. That's the truth. No matter how much you love your cricket, no matter how much you love your soccer, but this is the reality. My respected brothers and elders, let us not have hasrat, regret, on Yawmul Hasra, the day of regret. On the day of Qiyamah, those same two teams will never come to your rescue. And simple, logical. You're sitting and you're watching me. And you're shouting and you're telling him to kick like this. Oh, why you missed it? And he can't even hear you. He won't know you his whole life. And even if you meet him, so what? What have you done? Meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day in your salat. Meet Rasulullah every day in following the sunnah. Those other things are all dunya. There is a plan of shaitan. One soccer ball, one cricket ball, he took everybody away, gone. And we will spend hours awake at night just to watch that match. And we will argue and we will fight and all those things. And we get absolutely nothing, nothing, nothing. So he says, we watch television and sport for hours on end. We see this cup and that cup, but we forget the cup of death, moth. Each one of us will have a drink of that cup. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi had mentioned, Al-mawtu ka'asun, kullu nasi sharibu. Moth is a cup. Every person shall drink of that cup. Think of moth. And moth will come. When you read the kalima, will you talk about Manchester or Arsenal or Liverpool? What will you say? But a man's life, if he's only engrossed in that, believe me, in that time of moth, those things will come. Ulama have written kitabs with waqiyas which they have seen. When a person is leaving the world and he cannot say kalima, people around him saying la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. He's giving figures, 10 lakh, 50 lakh. And the things that he was engrossed in this world. And so many other people left this world so beautifully, reciting the kalima, and everybody saw, everybody said, mashallah. You know, he read the kalima and he left. What an honor, what a great thing. So you will die as you lived. And you will be raised on the day of Qiyamah, how you died. Always remember this. You will die as you lived in this world. If your life in this world was of taqwa, of akhlaq, iman, amali saliha, then Allah will give you a good mort. And if you pass away in a good way, then the day of Qiyamah, your hashr will be that way.
We should think of ourselves as thorns and others as roses. Similar to what we discussed. Think of ourselves as thorns and everybody else as a rose. Let's be honest. Do we think of ourselves like this? Or do we think of ourselves as roses and everybody else is a thorn? Just have to change. There's an imbalance in our system. Imbalance in our thinking. Imbalance in our tazkiyah, our tarbiyah, our islah. So we're looking at everybody else is wrong and we are right. We are thinking good about ourselves. Me, I'm a rose. Everybody else is a thorn. Hazrat Mawlana says, so simple. We should think of ourselves as thorns and everybody else as a rose. When you accuse someone falsely, when you make tuhmat, it boomerangs, it comes back to you. Remember, when you dig a hole for someone, when you dig a hole for someone, one day you will fall in it. You will face the same situation at some stage in your life. So don't ever make tuhmat upon any person. Do not accuse any person falsely. Because the same thing will come to you. In fact, the hadith of Rasulullah has mentioned the khulasa, which is that if you accuse somebody of something in this world and the person was innocent, Allah will not give more to you until you do the same thing that you had falsely accused that person. And then you will be disgraced in this world. Then after that, then Allah Ta'ala gives you more. So simple. Why do we be judgmental? Why do we criticize people and look for other people's faults? We have to first make, yes, one is you show hasrat, nadamat, that what is happening in the ummah, you got fikr for the ummah, you're trying that, ya Allah, people must change their lives. I, of course, I must change my life and everybody else together. But not that everybody must change their life, I am not worried about my own self. So when you falsely accuse someone, you accuse someone falsely, it boomerangs. Remember, when you dig a hole for someone, you will one day fall in it. You will face the same situation at some stage in your life. We'll just do one last one, inshallah. The fish does not ask, how long do I have to live in water? The fish does not ask, how long do I have to live in water? Similarly, the believer does not ask, for how long do I have to be obedient to Allah Ta'ala? What a beautiful example. The fish does not ask, how long I have to live in the water? A believer does not ask, for how long must I just carry on obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I'm tired, ma'adallah, never. A believer enjoys every moment in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every moment he wants to be just connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the time. And I mentioned previously, one of the malfuzul that we explained, that the believer, an arif of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he leaves no stone unturned, he leaves no opportunities, he doesn't let any opportunity go when he is going to do some good deed and getting closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every chance, he got his faraid, he got his wajibat, his sunnats, he got his nafil, his mustahabbat, everything he goes for. Not just the faraid and his content, no. A real love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he'll do everything to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those things that are compulsory upon him, and even those things which are not compulsory. Like in this world, person is in love with a woman, Allah save us, just by way of example. He'll do every single thing possible to make her happy. And she's makhluk. Imagine khaliq. How much we should be doing to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a fish does not ask how long a woman live in the water. A believer does not ask how long do I have to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah. This is a simple malfuzat, brief majlis today. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq of making islah of ourselves. We don't have to be judgmental, or we should not be judgmental. Yes, one is an arm, global fikr the person has, that ummat must be safe from the fire of Jahannam, from disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, one of the malfuzat Hazrat Mawlana has got. And this is something for all of us to take ibrat from. This was like over 9 years ago, Hazrat Mawlana had mentioned about when the person goes to Haramain Sharifain and the type of things that we see there, the photography. A
You see, there is great deficiency of there is great deficiency of respect in our hearts for the Haramain Sharifain. We are more and more occupied with photography. This was now over 9 years ago. We're almost 9 years as Maulana passed away. So, he says at that time, he said, we are more and more occupied with photography and other haram in such sacred places. This is a journey where the heart connects with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we increase in ibadah, marifa, ishq, not sins. Visiting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kissing the Hajar Aswad, tawaf, etc., is taken very lightly these days. The crowds are increasing, that's the truth. But the azmat of Baytullah is decreasing. People come with the picnic baskets to the Haram Sharif, this is the truth. People bring the remote control cars for their children to play with. Photography and videoing has become so rife. Believe me, yes, yesterday Allah Ta'ala had given us tawfiq to go right in front of the Rawdah Mubarak at the leg side of Rasulullah. Yes, few people standing there. Such a beautiful time now you have to make your salam. And this person is taking a selfie. What are you going to get out of it? You're only causing pain to Rasulullah. So he says that photography, videoing has become so ripe. It is, and everybody is sort of now totally accepted by everybody. The time is coming where even to stop somebody from wrong is going to be very difficult. By you stopping somebody, you will be made as though you are wrong. It's become so rife, videoing. People are taking, posing. Believe me. They have put their small children also. Riyadul Jannah is a place people wait to make sajda, to make dua. Big, big people. They got their children or even others standing there against the minbar of Rasulullah and posing with one leg on the one step and one leg down and posing and smiling. Where people are waiting to get inside to make the salat. And nobody says anything. All these, from what I, in my simple understanding, my gunas, is now really, 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 really very close to Qiyamah. These are signs of Qiyamah. Because in these Mubarak places, we all, this is happening. There's desecration of these Mubarak places now. Openly. May Allah forgive us, may Allah protect us. As Mawlana says, photography and videoing has become so rife. We don't accept this in our own masajid. If somebody comes video here, we'll chase him away from here. He says, we don't accept this in our own masajid. But it means little to us when done in the mother of all masajid. May Allah Ta'ala give us hidayah, tawfiq, to make amal, to make islah for ourselves. They're small, small things. Or simple things, but they are very great in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These things can become our means of najat if we get it right. Or we can even, if we don't do something right, and we take things lightly, then Allah forbid, it can even throw us into the fire of Jahannam. May Allah Ta'ala give all of us tawfiq and hidayah to make amal wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.